Welcome to the Ugly Unicorns Podcast. It's your host.
Who?
Eric Abram. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
I said, welcome to the podcast. Ugly Unicorns Podcast. Let's get it.
Okay.
On your mind.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Ugly Unicorns Podcast. It's your host, Eric Abram.
All right. Let's get into the podcast.
All right, we can stop.
What up, unicorns? Eric Abram here, and welcome to another episode of the Ugly Unicorns Podcast. I'm just joking. How you like my new look? This is my it's cold in Florida look. It's like 50 degrees out. Don't judge. Yeah, it's cold. Anyway, actually, it's making my head a little hot. All right, I already got these headphones on, this hat on. If you can't see, go to YouTube. What up, guys? What you guys been up to? I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did this. Well, what you guys been up to, Mike? What's been popping? Yeah, 2021 is almost over. It is almost written in the books. You know? So, I don't know. What's going to happen in 2022? What do you guys have on the horizon? Horizon? What do you guys have on the horizon? What's new? What's next? What's going on for you guys? I know for me, there's been a new journey set for myself. More on that later. Maybe not in this podcast or maybe the next podcast. But just to give you this sort of an insight, I am taking 3 weeks off because I'm starting a new job. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm just going to leave it like that. I won't go into who I'm working with or what I'm doing as of yet. I'm pretty sure you'll find out if you go to my LinkedIn. I mean, that's what I don't understand. Like, people try to keep the things private, but like, your LinkedIn's wide open. I can go to your LinkedIn right now and find out if I have your name, whatever. I can find out where you work. I can find out what your past works were. Your past jobs were. So like it's gonna be not a secret. It is what it is. You know, birdie's gotta fly. Birdie's gotta fly. Shake and bake, Ricky Bobby. Anyways, yeah, guys. So a few things I got in the books, a few things I want to talk about. Nothing too crazy. Yeah, we had belt promotions a couple weeks ago. I got a strap on my purple belt, so that's pretty cool. I've been a purple belt for less than a year. I already got a stripe, so I was pretty excited. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Anyways, that was really cool. I was not expecting that. It was a very big surprise. I was not expecting to get a stripe promotion, but I did. Very grateful. Thank you, Professor Bill. And, yeah, so one thing I need to do is I need to start training more. So I'm not going to make any freaking New Year's resolutions or anything like that. My goal is just to be a better human and train more and learn more. Not only in jiu-jitsu, but in life and in also in design and everything else. So those are the things that I need to maybe work on. So that's what I'm looking forward to in the next year is just, you know, learning and growing and doing a lot more things that I'm not used to doing, getting a little more uncomfortable. That's what life's all about, man. If you're stuck in your comfort zone, you're never going to grow. So that's what I want to do. I want to get a little more uncomfortable next year. I got uncomfortable 2020 when I did my first jiu-jitsu competition. That was the most nerve-wracking thing I've ever done, even more so than public speaking. Public speaking is nothing compared to getting mauled by a stranger. Like, you guys have no idea. Yo, shout out to the UFC fighters. Cause, like, I'm just grappling. Those dudes are getting punched in the face. But speaking of getting punched in the face, did y'all guys see Tyron Woodley? Oh, my God, bruh. Yo, my heart hurt, man. Seeing that man get KO'd like that, it was just not good. It's just not good. Yo, man, I don't know what this does to his legacy. I mean, he's still a UFC Hall of Famer, I feel. That's what most people say. I mean, he's defended the title many times as a welterweight, you know, very good. But yeah, man, it was sort of heartbroken to see my man get beat like that. From what I hear, I didn't watch the fight because I don't order pay-per-views. For me, I'm like, why do I need to pay for that when I can literally go on YouTube the next day and watch it for free? Like, it is what it is. That's life, man. But yeah, man, it was just heartbroken to see that. See a man, a grown man get flatlined like that. And you know where he comes from, what his pedigree is, like what he's done in the sport, like all those different things. It was just tough to like just see that. And you know, it's tough to see any person get KO'd or choked out. I mean, not choked out, but KO'd. KO'd is a rough one. I mean, there's ramifications of like head injury, trauma, death, CTE. Getting choked out is not as bad. I mean, you go to sleep, you snore really loudly like a freaking grizzly bear. I've seen a couple of people get put to sleep in the gym. It's a different feeling when you see somebody get put to sleep and when you see somebody get knocked out to sleep. It's just because like, you know what is, cause you know, like the trauma that it's causing. And like when they fall and they hit the mat, they like literally, they go from like, you know, standing up straight to like a freaking dry noodle and just hit the ground. Not a wet noodle, but a dry noodle. Just go bam. And they hit face first sometimes. It's just, sometimes watching fights is tough, man. Watching fights are tough, especially when a guy gets choked out. If it's a grappling match, like, that's fine. Like, as long as nobody's legs getting blown out or shoulders getting blown out or shit's freaking breaking or popping, like, that's fine. I even struggle with watching people do leg stuff. Like, sometimes not even leg stuff, but like people attacking in their entries. It's the people who are trying to escape those entries that just do the weirdest shit. And like they spin and twist in the opposite direction and get their knee blown out. I remember in class one day, he didn't get his knee blown out, but I was going for a heel hook entry, and I knew I wasn't gonna like complete the heel hook or anything like that. But I noticed this guy's a blue belt. I noticed like his escape was wrong. It was wrong. And I noticed it off top, like the way he was moving his hips, I thought he's going to like spin out this weirdly. So I immediately just like let it go. I didn't clamp it on or anything like that, because if I would have clamped it on full tight and his escape wrong, he would have blew his freaking knee out. And is it that his fault for not knowing the proper escape, or is it my fault for trying to go 100% on the training part and I'm not even competing or anything like that? So that's tough, man. So what I want to say is, make sure that you take care of your training partners and don't blow their knee out, even though they are not concerned with blowing your knee out. Just make sure you take care of your people. And that's one thing I noticed too. You know, I am a bigger guy. I think I am a bigger guy. Sometimes I don't feel like it. But when I roll with people, I don't go 100% and 100% like I'm training for a Naga or IBJJF competition. I just never rolled that way. I've never been that guy. Even at white belt, from white to purple belt, I still roll that way. And, you know, I play a little loose. I play a little more fun. But that's just me. But then you get other people who want to go 100% on you. I'm like, what the hell? Like, do you not sense my energy? Like, read the room. Like, I'm not trying to go, you know, I don't have a competition. You don't have a competition. Nobody in this class competes because we're all like 30 plus, right? Who cares? But like, why are you doing that? So I'm trying to take care of them, you know, look out for them, not go 100% because I could, and it'll be a rough day for them. But they're trying to go 100% on me. I'm like, what are you doing, bruh? Is white belts? I expect that. It's, you know, I expect that white belt, that all they know is their aggression. That's all they have. All they have is their strength or whatever. But sometimes their energy don't match their strength. They go on and sit on the strength and it just burn out. Sometimes that happens to me. But sometimes it's the blue belts too, man. Like, guys, you blue belts are still rolling like white belts. Why y'all doing that? Y'all niggas need to try to learn. Y'all ain't never going to grow if you don't ever play a different game other than your A game. Because, like, okay, let's say you do want to compete or whatever, and you only play your A game when you train. That is fine and dandy. But guess what happens when you get, if you're a top player and you get put on your back? It's going to be a long fucking match, bro. It's going to be a long match. So, therefore, your whole strategy is to stay on top. You know how likely that is in a match to stay 100% on top the whole time? Unless you're like stalling, tough. It is tough. Sorry to keep going on my I do ginger rats. Man, I'm very, I need some water or something. But that's what it is, man. That's what it is. Jiu-jitsu rant over. Actually, not over. I just want to just emphasize that, like, yo, you know, if you're training, you know, take care of your training partners. They'll take care of you. Don't be the one who's like trying to go 100% in the heel hook or trying to go 100% on a kimura or trying to go 100% on an armbar. Because at the end of the day, if you hurt your training partners, you look like a dick. Nobody wants to roll with you. And then those people can't train. You postpone their journey. And now you have nobody to train with. Then now you got to go to a new gym and start that cycle all over again. Just not worth it, man. Just not worth it. But anyways, I got a few things I want to talk about. First thing I want to talk about is early in the month, one of the ladies that I coach and mentor for UX, she actually got a job, guys. Congratulations. Hold on. Do I even have an applause? Hold on. Check this out. Yes. Elizabeth got a job as a UX designer. She thinks she said UI, UX designer. She got a job doing user experience from coming to being a graphic designer. Shouts out to you. Here we go. Let me try this one. I love Don DeMarco. Yo, I love these little things. Let me know if you like these sound effects or not, because I can stop playing them because I have so many. Anyway, come on, camera. Get back into focus. There we go. So she actually got a job. And Elizabeth, the person I'm talking about is this person here. You can see in the video. You can check that out. Watch that video. I'm giving her portfolio review tips. So this was like our second chat that we had. We talked over email a few times as well, but this is the video. If you want to go watch that, check it out. Got some good nuggets in there. This is not the full video. I don't ever put a full video of me interacting with someone one-on-one. I always chop it up. I shorten it. I take out a lot of things because a lot of things are personal. I also take out a lot of details because, you know, they pay for that information. I don't want to give that information out for free. So I just chop it down to, like, you know, stuff that people already know. You know, sometimes you can check it out there. So if you're interested in that, check that video out. Click on the link card right there and you'd be good to go. But what was really exciting is, like, she sent me an email, and I'm going to show you email real quick. But she sent me an email and I instantly was like, started smiling. I was super excited. I think I was more excited than she was. I was like, dang, that is so dope. Because this is not the first time this has, like, happened. A lot of people who, like, digest my content, go to the Patreon, you know, it helps them either, you know, one, progress in the interview process, two, either get a job or whatever. So it just lets me know I'm doing something right. I'm helping out the world. I'm contributing. I'm contributing. I think I said it right the first time, but, like, seeing that is so more, it's way more gratifying than actually doing anything else. Like, I don't care about making projects and products for companies, like, helping out others get, achieve, and do what they want to do in their roles in their life. That is way more exciting. But I just want to pull up what she sent to me. So here, real quick, I'll read it for you guys. So it looks like I'm looking at it right there. That's pretty cool. So, hello, Eric! Exclamation point. I got my first job as a UX/UI designer. Your coaching was perfect, and I was able to make all the changes to my two projects and create a PowerPoint I presented in my interview. I made sure to summarize my slides, and I delivered. She didn't spell it right. I delivered. I guess that's what it is. Living to a story and empathy and user experience as pain points. I must also mention that they have a glowing unicorn statue in the office. I guess it was destiny. That's hilarious because, you know, ugly unicorns keep it a gangster. Is there any way I can leave a review on your coaching? And I was like, that's freaking dope. That's freaking awesome. Hell yeah, you can leave a review. And so I think I posted a review to my it's not on the website yet, but I posted it to, I believe, was YouTube. But here it is right here. So here's a review. I'm going to go ahead and read this. I've written this review. You can put it on your website. Okay, cool. I might put this on the website so people can see it. But here it goes. Eric's honest Eric's honest critique and attention to detail when reviewing my UX slash, you know what, Elizabeth, we got to stop with this UX slash UI shit. It's fucking me up. Reviewing my UX UI projects helped me to create necessary changes to create a strong portfolio that led to my interview in my first job as a UX designer. He provided resources for me to improve my understanding of this field and great tips for presenting my work in a PowerPoint for the interview. I just read that in a different way. I highly recommend his coaching sessions. Yo, that is one of the, that's probably one of the best reviews I've ever received from a human ever on something that I've done to help them out. Yo, man, Elizabeth, shout out to you. Yo, you know, well, you know what? Here we go. Elizabeth, shout out to you. Here's a, okay, not a bicycle horn. I hit the wrong one. Here's another one. Shouts out to you, Elizabeth. Thank you so much for the kind review, and thank you so much for being an ugly unicorn. So like I just want to segue and say, if you guys want mentorship, coaching, whatever you want to do, go to uglyunicorns.com/coaching, and you can book a session so you can have a great experience like Elizabeth did. But let's continue on. I just wanted to put that out there because, man, that makes me so happy, dude. That makes me so freaking happy. I'm getting hot right now. Like, I need to take this off, but I'm not because I need that continuity in the video. If you can't see, go to YouTube. Anyways, something else I want to talk about. I'm probably late to the game on this stuff, but there have been some birdies, some things that I've seen across the internet pertaining to this thing called Metaverse. I almost said multiverse, like it's the Marvel movie. Same thing. Multiverse, metaverse, whatever. So like the whole metaverse thing. I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand it. Maybe I don't even appreciate it. From what I understand is that the multiverse. I mean, shit. I'm over here reading it right here. I'm about to show you guys an article in a minute. I'm over here. I lost my train of thought talking about the multiverse. I need to go watch that Spider-Man movie. Let's go. Anyways, the metaverse. From what I understand, the metaverse is a place where you can go in and experience all these different worlds, right? Through the comfort of your own living room, bathroom, bedroom, closet. I don't know. I don't know where you're experiencing this. And I think that you have to use this thing called an Oculus, I think, either one of those headsets. And that headset, I guess it lets you see all the different worlds within the metaverse. I'm probably wrong about this, but this is what I think it is. I think a metaverse is a place where you can go experience all these different worlds created by all these different people and the designers and shit. And it's just a way to like do stuff. But you know what my argument is to that is? Take your ass outside, player. What do you need a metaverse for? Go outside. Bruh, Florida is a metaverse. Florida is a real life metaverse. You want to go see an alligator? Jump in one of those ponds over there, bruh. You're going to see one and it's going to touch you for real. That's the real thing. And the whole metaverse thing's like had like these things, has all this haptic feedback and all this bullshit. You know what haptic feedback you can get? Go hug your mom. Go hug your dad. Go hug your parents. That's haptic feedback in real life. Bruh, I am not a fan of this metaverse shit. I am not a fan. I've never been, but look, maybe I'm biased because I've never been into gaming. I've never been a gamer. I've never been a one to play Zelda and all these first person shooters and all these fantasy games, all those other bullshit. I've always been into, I like fighting games and I rarely even play those. I have an Xbox. I have an Xbox One. I haven't played that thing in probably since I've been married, bro. Like, I've been married for over, almost 4 years. I haven't played that game in probably that many, I probably haven't played it. You know what? Since I've had that game console, I think I've had it for like maybe five, six years. I think I've played it maybe only 10 times. And I'm not selling it because, you know, maybe one day I'll become a gamer. Probably not. But anyways, I've never been one into games. Even when I was younger, well, my brother and I, we lived in Germany, and we got a Sega Genesis, the first ever Sega Genesis when it came out, and we got Sonic, right? And I would never want to play the game. I was just never interested in playing games. I don't know what it is. I like to sit there and watch. I would watch my brother play for hours, bro. He would play for like 4 hours, and I'm there, and I'm engaged. I'm just watching and watching and watching. And I watched so much. One day, this motherfucker, he beat the game. Bro, he beat Sonic. I think he beat Sonic, too. My brother smart. My brother Terry. Shout out to Terry. But my brother Terry, man, he's so smart, bro. Like, this motherfucker beat Sonic, bro, in like 4 hours. And I'm just watching the whole thing. I'm watching all the graphics and how it moves. I'm very interested in, like, all the interaction they got going. I'm like, yo, this is lit. But he's like, yo, you want to play? I'm like, nah, I'm good. Like, what? What person wouldn't want to play? Someone who's that engaged in the game. Someone who's that invested. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to play. I don't want to mess up what you got going on. I mean, man, I just never been into video games. I don't know what it is. Like, I like experiences. Like, I like going out doing stuff. When I was younger, we used to go to the playground all the time. You know, I'm in the backyard doing backflips because I watched Power Rangers one day on TV. Shout out to the Blue Ranger because he taught backflips at the end of the show. Pretty lit. I mean, I'm in the backyard trying to do backflips. I'm on a trampoline. I'm at the park. I'm in the woods building freaking forts in the forest and shit. Like, I'm outside trying to skateboard. I'm not very good at that. But yeah, I tried it. You know, it's whatever. I remember Street Illusion on the skateboard in Germany. And I was a kid, me and Andre, I'm surprised I remember his name. Me and Andre were on the street, on the skateboard, like a luge style. We're going down one of those little ramps, and we come up on a turn, and we ain't make the turn. We ain't make the turn, bruh. It was bad. We wrecked so hard, man. We probably was going like, for me, for like 100 miles an hour, because I'm like 7 or 6 or 7 like that. Yo, we go around a bend. We freaking fall off the skateboard, luge style. We go tumbling. I get up. I got a circle patch. It's just pink. Just ripped skin off my face, bro. It was so bad. I had to go to school with a big bandage on my face looking like freaking one of the mummies from Mummy Return, bro. I got this giant patch on my face. It looks so bad. You go in the first grade class like, what the hell happened to you? Like, I got to a skateboard accident. Bro, it was so bad. But anyways, man, I'm talking a lot about my gaming experience. I'll talk about how much I hate the metaverse. But yeah, I just don't understand metaverse. And like, if you want to go to experience worlds, guys, just take your ass outside. Just keep in the gangster mind. I don't get it. But anyway, let's look at this article that I seen the other day. I'm not even going to read this article. But this is a very interesting headline. The metaverse has a groping problem already. Wait, what? People being groped in the game? How you get groped in the game? Anyways, there's been sexual misconduct. A woman was sexually harassed on Meta's VR social media platform. She has not, this has not been the first time. It won't be the last. Yo, this ain't funny, but yo, this is fucked up. Like, yo, what designer didn't account for this? Like, do y'all not know what teenagers are? This is probably the main audience. It's like 14-year-olds. They wilding out here. But yeah, man. So, anyways, if you want to go read this article, man, go to technologyreview.com and go to check this article out. It's very interesting because they said that there is a tool called Safe Zone that allows users to put up like a safe bubble around themselves so they won't interact or anything with another person within the metaverse. But it doesn't seem like it's, you know, readily available in the time that you actually fucking need it. So like, yo, this is the issue, man. Like, yo. Women out here not safe at all. They can't even go to a fake imaginary place, bro. This is bad, yo. This is kind of fucked up. This is not good. Because I would hate, one, can you fight in the metaverse? Because if this happened to my wife in the metaverse, I'd be like, yo, forget this metaverse, bro. Meet me by the trash can, dog. It's going down. Like, you're not going to virtually do anything. You're going to physically get hurt. That's just me. You know, I got to protect mine. You know what I mean? But yeah, this is an issue, guys. Like, what designer, like, didn't account for this feature? And if they did account for it, did they not account for how accessible that it could be activated? Could it be a particular a button or command or something you could do? Like, come on, man. And if it is, are you communicating that to your users? Do users even understand that this is something that they could access kind of quickly? Like, I don't know, man. I just thought it was really fucked up that, you know, people out here getting groped virtually, even though I don't understand how you virtually get touched. I know that she got a haptic feedback suit on, but maybe it's like something with the hands or something in the area, maybe something like that. But yo, this is weird. But like, this is what I'm saying. Like, metaverse, it ain't all that great. You still got first world problems in the metaverse. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, also, there's another thing called Omniverse. What the fuck is an Omniverse? We got Metaverse, we got Multiverse, we got Omniverse, we got Universe. Like, bruh, we got versus battles. Like, there's so many verses out here. And I think this is one by NVIDIA. Basically, this is like a 3D engine that helps you build virtual things to put into a metaverse situation. I even think Microsoft got their own version of a metaverse thing. I don't know. These companies are tripping, bro. I'm not investing in this. Like, I'm not getting down with this. I mean, they even talk about, like, you can eat virtual food, bro. What that mean, bro? What that mean? What does that mean? How you eat virtual food, bro? How you drive a virtual car? How you own a virtual house, bro? That ain't real, bro. That's weird. But they want to make it seem like it's real. So, like, if you poor in the real world, you can go to the metaverse and be rich. Or if you're rich in the real world, you can go to the metaverse and be poor. Like, are we swapping life experiences, like, on a real-time basis? Bro, this metaverse thing, it has so many flaws built into it already, and I do not want to get into it. And don't get me started on, like, the political shit that could happen within it. Do you have a metaverse president now? Are you president of the metaverse Omniverse now? You know what? It's too many. But anyways, look at this. This is like basically what things that you can make all these different things. And what they're trying to say is, like, companies are making digital. I watched the video of one of the CEO or whatever. He was saying, like, companies are now making the 3D version of their plants. Let's say you're like a manufacturer of cars or whatever the hell. You can make a 3D version of your plant, and you can run, like, system diagnostics and troubleshoots and all this other shit to try to figure out if your plant is running even efficiently, if you have, you know, friction points into it. I'm thinking, like, how is that possible? Like, what genius level guy you got programming an algorithm using real world scenarios to try to articulate that, you know, if you run this, you know, plant for 6 months, you're gonna have a faulty system in this area. And, like, how does it know that? How would you know that? And, like, what physics engine are they running to even account for that? Like, I sound like a very smart person right now, and I'm not very smart, but this is very confusing, and I don't get it. I don't get it. Omniverse, universe, multiverse, metaverse, versus battle, me versus you, Thanos versus the world. Shit, I don't know. Loki, Thor, I don't know, man. I don't get it, man. Yo, man, this podcast is dumb. This podcast is dumb as hell. Yo, man, shouts out to the ugly unicorns out there bearing with. with me right now as I struggle through this. Yo, there's a lot of smart people out here smarter than me that could figure out this whole metaverse, omniverse. Yo, you got to dumb this shit down to a third grade level. And third grade was hard because that's when you learn cursive, all right? That's when you learn how to do cursive handwriting. And I still can't read that shit. Bro, is that an L or a J? Is that a Z or a G? Somebody help my brother out. I don't know. Someone help me out. Oh, my God. Yo, I'm sorry for those who are bearing with. Please forgive. But anyway, I'm scrolling through this website and I'm not reading it, one, because this is way too much text, bro. I need more boxes. I need more pop-ups. I need a pop-up book. I mean, I'm not gonna play these videos with copyright issues, but I guess these are all the companies like that are contributing to the Omniverse. And I think how to describe it was the Omniverse is like, you know, for simplest terms, like a tunnel to a metaverse. And these companies can build all these different worlds that I can basically put into the poop chute, get flushed down and go to the bigger poop, which is metaverse. You know what? I'm not doing a good job of describing this. So, you know, I apologize in advance and I don't know. But anyways, have you guys seen the Omniverse yet? If you have, I'm scared to even click on one of these things. Let me just click on that. Oh, you can wait. What? What is this? What website did I go to? Yeah, I'm not going to click on any of these videos for, you know, copyright. But yeah, just go to nvidia.com and, you know, click on the Omniverse, man. Check it out, man. Let me know what y'all think. I guess you can download a beta. Check it out and see if it works. I'm not smart enough to do this, so I'm not going to do it. So I'm going to get rid of those. But yeah, man, metaverse, omniverse, multiverse, universe, U-verse, me-verse, versus battle, Loki, Thor, all of them, bruh, all of them. But yeah, man, that's it. Another thing that I wanted to talk about too, man. So my wife and I, yo, we've been binge watching this show called 20 something. Let me just pull it up real quick. Boom. We've been binge watching this show right here. Yo, this show right here is ridiculous. This show is ridiculous. Look, if y'all don't know, look, I need to tell y'all. Look, hey, I got a secret. Hey, I got something to tell y'all. I regret to inform the Ugly Unicorns Nation that I, Eric Abram, the first, because there hasn't been a second. I, Eric Abram, am addicted to trash TV. Oh, God. Yes. I am addicted to trash TV. This is not my first time watching something like this. This is not, guys. This is a problem. I've had this problem for years. It started out me watching The Real World. I still like to watch The Real World. I watched every season, okay? I watched it so much. I even started watching the Challenger show, which is pretty stupid as well. It's just basically The Real World with games, okay? I'm not proud of this. You know what? I got another announcement. I'm not proud of this either, but I even watched The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Oh, my God. Yes, I did. My problem has gotten out of control. It spiraled out of control. And I'm not proud of this, okay? I admitted it. You know, the first step to solving a problem is admitting that you have a problem. And I admit that I like reality TV, even though it's not based in anybody's reality but the producers. It's still TV. All right, so it started with The Real World. Okay, I tried to watch Road Rules. Wasn't my thing. They're basically camping. Not really a big camper, even though I say I'm a camper to my wife all the time. She's like, "You're not a camper." I'm like, "But I am." Anyway, tried that. I tried the Real World versus Road Rules. That's when it started for me. Okay. That's when the Challenger game started. It was Real World versus the Road Rules. Road Rules never won, but yeah, because they won that many of them. But yeah, this is kind of how it all started for me. And so, like, I've watched damn near every real world freaking thing. And this is basically the real world, except they just added one more person. And so now it's called 20 somethings and it's 8 people instead of 7. And guess what? They don't all live in one house. They live in, hey, spoiler alert. Hold on. Check me out. Spoiler alert. Was that even a good spoiler alert? What about this? Okay, that's a triangle. All right. Spoiler alert. I'm about to say some things that pertain to the show. If you do not want to listen, I suggest you cut it off. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoilers inactivated. Inactivated? Spoilers activated. All right, it's about 20 somethings. These people are on an average age of like 24, just like 23 year olds. I think the oldest person might be 25. Okay. And then all these people from like all over the country. I mean, this chick right here, she's from California. He's from the Carolinas. He's from the Carolinas. She's from Houston. He's from like Arkansas. She's from Florida. She's from Florida. And he's also from LA. Yeah, I just gave you guys the whole rundown of these people. I don't remember their names exactly. But anyways, so instead of 7 people, there's now 8 people. I guess you can get away with copyright infringement if you add one more. But anyways, Netflix, shouts out to you. But basically, yeah, there's a bunch of episodes. Spoiler alert. Don't look if you don't want to look. Anyways, so like, yo, these kids, man. We binge watched. It was like 12 episodes. You know, I'm not very proud of my decisions, you know, because I'm on vacation and I don't really care. But I watched 12 episodes in like a day, and it was not great because I didn't sleep that night and I went to bed at like 2 o'clock in the morning. But hey, the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Anyways, so these freaking kids, yo, I call them kids because I'm older than them by like maybe 10 or 12 years. But anyway, who cares about that? Okay. Math is hard. All right. Math is difficult. But anyways, these kids, like they like live in Austin, Texas. Like, you know, they never lived in Austin before. It almost feels like this is their first time ever leaving the nest. Cause I'm gonna be honest. A lot of these kids live with their parents. Like, damn, they're 90% of them. So it was so strange to hear them talk about how, like, you know, they never lived alone. They never, you know, been outside the house. I'm like, did y'all not go to college? Like, what school? Did you not go to college? Like, I remember, like, moving out of the house and not having a room when I came back to visit. Like, it was just like that. Maybe it's different now for the 20-somethings in today's day. But, like, yo, these kids are like 23, 25 years old, still living with their mom and dad. I thought that was very interesting. Like, bro, I hit 18, 19. I was out the crib, bro. I was in there paying bills. I got a cell phone. I got my own car. I got all that stuff. Like, I got my own apartment. Like, I lived alone till I was like married. I mean, I had a roommate in college. I think I had one. Yeah. I've had one roommate in college. After that, it was me, baby. And I didn't get another roommate until I got married. And man, look how that's going. I'm still married. I guess it's good. Love you, man. But yeah. So like these two right here, spoiler alert, still inactivated. Spoiler alert, still, you know what? Hold on. Spoiler alert, still activated. So these two from California end up hooking up at the end. But before, she liked this dude over here because he was a hottie. He was a hottie patati, right? But because he was from the South, because he's from like North Carolina or South Carolina, she automatically was judging him. She thought that he, because he was in the South and he was Southern, he had a Southern accent, that they did not share the same political views. She thought that he was a Trump supporter without ever asking him if he supported Trump. She never asked the question. She built her whole life on an assumption, bro. An assumption. And that is a bad idea. Never live your life on an assumption. And that goes the same thing when you're developing products for users. Because she was not willing to have a real life conversation with boy here from the South. She like judged him. She stereotyped him. She did all the things wrong. All the things wrong. And, you know, he mentioned that to her, like, yo, I'm not going to judge you. You're not going to judge me. You know, and you just got to have a real life conversation about those different things. She's like, because I think what changed her mind was they were in a gay club, you know, to support. Oh, boy. I won't give away too much of the show, but it's pretty dang good. I'm just going to give this away. But because this triggered the fuck out of me. Like, they were in a gay club, right? And she thought that he was going to have a problem going to a gay club. No, this motherfucker is live. He's lit. He's partying. He's changing shirts with the bartender, living life, living it up. And she like looked at him differently, like, oh my God, I totally judged you. I thought you were like, I thought we didn't have the same political reviews. Political views. And I thought you were a Trump supporter because I never, you know, interacted with anybody from the South or Southern states. I'm instantly getting defended. I'm like, yo, I live in the South, bro. Like, I grew up most of my life here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not like that. Like, why you automatically assume that? Because he got a Southern accent and he's a white boy from the Carolinas? Like, that's messed up, bro. That's messed up. And it just goes to show, like, yo, these 20-somethings do not know how to have conversations. It is clearly evident. They lack communication skills, and it is tough. I will say that part of the show is tough to watch. To see people struggling to communicate their feelings and what they think about, how they feel, it is tough, man. It's borderline annoying. I'm just like, yo, get it out. Say it. Pull each other into a room and just talk about it. That's all you got to do, bruh. That's all you got to do, bruh. But anyways, yeah, that's the one thing I definitely want to call out was, you know, this little triangle they got going. But there's a bunch of other triangles that I'm not going to mention. I'm not going to totally ruin the show, but I definitely spoiled some shit for you guys. But yeah, man, if you haven't already, check this show out. It's pretty good. I thoroughly enjoyed it, even though it was super cringy. I wanted to be like, yo, if y'all don't sit down and have a one-on-one, if y'all don't get on a Zoom call and have a one-on-one, I'm about to break my TV, bruh. Like, that's how triggered I was watching this, like seeing these 20-somethings react to interact with each other and just overthink shit. Like, yo, that chick right there that I just talked about that was judging the old boy, you know, she would overthink everything. She overthought everything. And someone had to sit her down. She's like, someone had to sit her down and say, how do you know that? She's like, I don't know. Like, they're like, have you had a conversation with old boy? She's like, no, I just think they're like, no, don't think, don't assume, do like, go figure it out. Go figure out what old boy's head at. Come back and report. You just can't sit here and struggle in your own thoughts and assume shit and get in your own headspace and overthink things. Man, you're never going to progress in life, man. And that is a clear definition of a closed-minded person. They talk about people in the South are so closed-minded. That is an example of someone who's not from the South, very closed-minded. And that is a problem. We're not going to get into it, but yo, that's an issue. And yeah, man. Woo. That show was, it was good. But that whole dynamic, that non-communication piece, bro, I wanted to break my TV, bro. I was like, I'm about to throw this remote control right now. I'm about to just, you know, end it all. Sorry, Amazon. I don't need your Fire TV. This motherfucker about to be on fire. Anyways, yeah, this podcast is long as hell. But anyways, another thing that I want to talk about too is basically this has something to do with me in general. Nothing bad. I'm just amazing. I'm just joking. I'm pretty cool though. Something I want to bring out real quick is that, you know, everybody knows my whole story about being a graphic designer and how I came from being a graphic designer to UX designer, product designer, senior product designer. And now I'm like levels above a senior. More on that later. But I'm no longer a senior designer. I'm top level, top flight designer now. And, you know, in the past, I always ridiculed it still is true. Sorry. It's still true, but, you know, I would always say, like, visual design, not that important, cherry on top, last step in the process, all that shit. And I was thoroughly not embracing the things that got me to the dance. I thoroughly was, like, putting it down, saying all those things. It's still relatively true, but I didn't have to go about it in the way that I went about doing it. And I'm not making excuses for myself, but I think it stems from me being a graphic designer, me being in those in that last step of the process phase, me being in that step of being told what to do, not why we're doing it, type of mindset. And so in my mind, I've drawn a negative emotion towards visual design. I just automatically was like, nope, I don't want to do visual design. I want to do strategy, data-driven shit. I just want to do wireframes, send it off, boom, boom, boom. That was my whole mindset. But not appreciating that those skills that I try to downplay is what got me the job that I get. I mean, the fuck am I talking about? Those things, those attributes and those skills is what helps me get the jobs that I get. And for me to downplay that and to make it seem like it's not great, it's not that important, it's just doing a disservice to myself and to my audience. Because at the end of the day, like, yes, visual design is the last step of the process. It is the cherry on top. It is the sugar. It is that delight. It is the close on everything else. But it is the first thing that a user is going to actually see. So why would you not want your application to look good? But it also has to function, right? But, you know, I'm just going to say, like, it does have to leave a first impression, second impression, third impression. And as you interact with the app, you get more and more impressions on it, right? You get this, okay, this app looks good. Okay, this app functions well. Oh, there's some nice delights in here. All the interactions are very responsive. Like, when I tap this, it's responding to me, right? When I interact with it, it's reacting. Like, it's a nice cohesive relationship. And so now I'm looking back and I'm thinking, like, why was I like that? And it goes back, you know, for me having such a negative, you know, interaction with design. And so now I'm taking a step back and saying, like, you know what? I need to embrace all that. I need to embrace the things that got me to the dance. I need to embrace the things that helped me get the jobs that I get, to help me get to where I am. Because it does not help for me to downplay the skill set that I do pretty dang good. I would say I'm a pretty good visual designer as well. Into just stuff like that, but I just always put it in a way that was not conducive to helping others. And so now I want to start doing more UI design tutorials. So if you guys haven't seen already, I put out like two of them already. Just trying to, you know, basically I'm just building stuff. You know, there's no real thought behind it. Just trying to have fun. Just trying to embrace who I was, but in a more positive light. A more positive perspective. But, you know, there's things that I still need to learn. I still need to learn a lot of different things when it comes to user experience. I'm not like the best of the best. I want to get to being the best, but it is what it is. Like, that's how this game works. You gotta continue to want to learn and get better. Cause, you know, there's always somebody there who's gonna be better than you, or somebody that needs your help, and you need to be up on your skill set that way you can go and teach and help others. So that's the reason why I do this, because I want to be able to help others in the long term to help them get better. So helping myself get good is going to help you get good. You know, that is what it is. And so with that said, I'm going to start doing more tutorials on design, interaction design, using ProtoPie and Figma. So look out for those type of videos coming out, because I need to embrace the full gamut when it comes to user experience. When we think about the whole double diamond thing. Because when I first got into it, I was just like, nah, the last half of the Devil Diamond, I don't even want to touch it because it has such a negative response. I want to focus on the first half of the Devil Diamond. But when you realize you can work for these companies, one, they don't even know what a Devil Diamond is, first of all. And then two, they focus more on the latter half of the Devil Diamond. So therefore, I was doing the things that I thought I didn't like doing the most, if that makes any sense. A lot of companies, because they don't have good UX maturity, only focus on the visual design part of things. They only focus on like the buttons and icons and colors and shit like that. Stuff that don't really matter, but do matter, it's not going to really move the needle on the overall user experience because that's just a piece of the user experience. It's like 0.1% of the user experience versus the other. That's actually like 1% of the user experience versus the 99% of stuff that we're neglecting. And so I was saying I'm going to focus on only the 99%. I'm going to really get good at that, blah. And then the sugars on top is going to come later. When you find out you go to these companies, you know, you get hired for these jobs and, you know, you go in, you want to do all this whole UX process and you realize they don't care about any of that shit. They want that 1% and that 1% to them is 99%. So now you're doing visual design constantly, and you're neglecting the other parts. And that's not good either. So now you got to go educate yourself on the other parts, make sure you're staying current. You're probably out there looking for a job to do the whole gamut and not just focus on one piece or the other. And so that's what I'm doing currently is doing that. But yeah, I just want to just say like, I'm going to start embracing myself and who I am and who I was and help me move forward and not have such a negative stigma when it comes to like, you know, the visual stuff and deeming it as lower class because it's really not. It's a hard job. You still got to know user experience. You still got to know and understand how the user is going to interact with your application due to visuals. So I'm going to start embracing and doing more of that when it comes to the YouTube channel. You know, doing more of those tutorials, help you guys out visually, interaction stuff, just to help you guys out because that is the one thing that most of you guys are missing, right? And that is the one thing that most of these companies are looking for. You know, they always say like, oh, you don't have to code, you don't have to design, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, you do. You still need to learn all those things. And if you don't have those chops, it's going to be tough for you to move forward going forward because they place a lot of value on those things. So why not, you know, work on it and create yourself some more value going forward. So that's what I'm going to be doing now. I just say all that to say I'm going to start embracing who I am as a designer going forward when it comes to the whole gamut of user experience and not just focusing on the first half of the Devil Diamond and downplaying the latter half of the Devil Diamond because that's not right. That's not right to my viewers as well. You got to be able to do it all. In the grand scheme of things, there are specialists out there that can, you know, that only do, you know, the strategy, that only do the user experience, that only do the visuals, that only do the interaction design. There's companies out there that allow you to just specialize in that way. But there's other companies or smaller companies that want you to be like a generalist and you can kind of do the full gamut. Like, I think it's like they call it a full stack product designer or whatever. Still a weird concept to me. I think of like the like developer, but like you're able to do like your own research, your own discovery work, your own, you know, prototyping and then wireframing, et cetera, like the full gamut, right? The full UX spectrum, which is fun. But sometimes you want to take a role where you don't have to do all the things, right? So work for a small company, get a feel of what you really want to do, go work for a bigger company so you can focus on the things you really want to do. That might help you out in your career going forward. It's something to think about. But yeah, I just wanted to say like, I'm going to start embracing who I am as a designer and as a person. And I want you guys to do the exact same. So whatever skills that got you to the dance, that got you to where you are today, that got you these UX jobs, embrace those skills and expound and work on those skills even more so, right? So be the best at the thing that got you to the dance and still work on the other things that you're not so good at, but be the freaking best at the things that got you to the freaking dance. That's all I got to say. And with that, I'm going to end this podcast because I got to take my dogs out because they need to go for a walk. All right, guys, I really appreciate you guys rocking with me. 2021 has been a blast. My channel has exploded. I have almost 3,000 subscribers, more and more each day because of you guys. It really helped me. You like the video, you subscribe to the channel, you share with your friends. If you haven't done those things, make sure you just go ahead and do that. But, you know, this channel would not exist, this podcast would not exist if you guys weren't here, right? So I want to just give a congratulations and an applause to all my ugly unicorns, my subscribers, my patrons, everybody who's, you know, basically mess with me, fuck with me, you deal with me, you listen to me, you work with me, etc. I appreciate you guys, man. And yo, 2022, let's do it again. All right, guys, with that said, this is Eric Abram. And like I always say, don't just be a unicorn.